better never rest. Good morning. It's the Georgia Show here on the Dogs HQ YouTube channel. Before we get started, got to shout out our friends at Whataburger. When first unwrapping your Whataburger, you may find yourself awestruck by what's in front of you. Hot, fresh, and made to order on a 5-inch toasted bun with 100% never frozen American beef patty grilled to perfection. Melty cheese, crisp hand-chopped veggies, and mustard. It may look more like art than food. Some even consider it a masterpiece. They aren't wrong. Whataburger, just like you like it. I'm gonna get through that read, and I'm gonna nail it here before the end of all of this. That's driving me crazy. I was so close again. But listen, Whataburger coming to Athens. They're bringing the food truck, and they will be in Athens
on October 4th.
There you go. Georgia versus Kentucky. So get up with them, man. The touchdown tour. Come hang out. Have a little Whataburger sandwich, man. Delicioso, as our Spanish-speaking friends might say. Jake Rowe, Georgia Show, Thursday, man. Georgia firmly, I think, Marshall in the rearview mirror, and now we can turn the page over to Austin Peay. A lot to get to. Dark Dana says, do y'all not have Whataburgers or what? They are everywhere here. We don't have a lot. They're getting to be more. They're cropping up.
There's a couple in Athens now.
Yeah, yeah. You're starting to see them more. I think, what was it, like Marietta or something that opened up huge lines for them. Anyway, regardless of that, we're here to talk Georgia football. The page has been turned, and now we anticipate the arrival of the governors of Austin Peay. A more, I think for all intents and purposes, a more cohesive squad than we probably saw from Marshall. Some guys who probably – met each other before this summer and have known each other for a little bit of time, have played a little bit of ball together. Jake, an interesting one here. Not from the perspective of it shouldn't be necessarily a challenge, but just another opportunity for the Georgia Bulldogs to get out here and kind of continue to develop and continue what we have said is sort of an extension of the preseason scrimmages, an opportunity to see who can do it when the band's playing. So what are you looking for this weekend against Austin Peay when it comes to Georgia that maybe we didn't see last weekend?
Well, I mean, I'll have my eye on pregame warm-up pretty heavily because, you know, you got some injuries that they're dealing with there. You know, Weingasten there at right guard, I would say almost no chance he plays. But just interested to see if they dress him out. Is he in a boot, you know, is he in a brace? You know, because from what I understand, this is very much as much of a knee injury, if not more so, than it is an ankle injury. And I don't think either one is serious. I don't think he's dealing with it. I mean, certainly Rusty's already reported he's not dealing with any surgery. But you'd just like to know kind of where he's at because he needs those reps, man. Like, he really does. Like, I mean, I'm not shy about saying it. 19 plays into his football career, he didn't play very well. I mean, he did some pretty impressive things. You know, the viral clip of him running out there and blowing up a cornerback is great. He also didn't block the right guy who almost tackled Nate Frazier for a loss on the play. Sure. And then he had two busted slide protections. I don't put a ton of stock into PFF's grades just because – not because I don't think they try to do a good job. I really do. Like, I know they try to do a good job, but there are some things that they don't know. You know, all these people doesn't matter who you watch on these film breakdowns, when they get super technical about what guys should do, there's some stuff they don't know how these guys were coached to do it. You know, they may be kind of playing off of a tendency of the offense, all that stuff. I don't want to get too deep into it because I don't want to sound critical of these people who put themselves out there like that. But, you know, Gaston struggled, and I think he needs more reps. He needs more tape to learn from and all of that stuff. Ernest Green, I think Ernest Green has a better chance to play From what I understand, he felt pretty good earlier this week. The back injury has not given him trouble since 2022, though. That's something Georgia fans need to understand. It's like I've seen a lot of folks, man, is he ever going to get over that back injury? Yeah, he got over it for an entire 2023 season and dealt with a shoulder injury last year. And I was told a groin injury earlier in the year. I don't know how serious that was. You know, listen, you get dinged up on the O-line. They're constantly dealing with something.
Yeah.
The guys up there are. And then Dalen Everett, you know, I mean, Kirby, the thing with Dalen is that he went in pregame warm-up. Like he in the past, there are kind of three different stages of injuries at Georgia. You don't dress out, or you dress out and you go through a little bit of individual drill and then you stand around and watch, or you go through it all. And Dalen Everett pretty much went through it all on Saturday. Reminiscent of Javon Bullard for the South Carolina game in 2023. He kind of did everything. Well, then Javon didn't play. I think if Georgia were to play Tennessee this week, I think Dalen Everett would probably give it a go. But Kirby said earlier this week, confirmed that it was an ankle, something that we had already reported, and then said that he practiced some on Monday and they were hoping to do more on Tuesday. Said he was day-to-day, which is kind of the kiss of death sometimes, but not always. But, you know, I would like to see what he does in pregame, if they kind of keep him rolling out there and keep him doing that. Honestly, before the pregame, Scott Sinclair, who does he have out there? What is he doing with some of these guys to help them get some extra condition and all that stuff? You're watching all of it, and we'll be reporting on that over at Dogs HQ. But I'm really looking for that, and you know, for the most part. And that's kind of what I'm looking for. We'll get into kind of expectations for the offense and expectations for the defense. Sure. And I'll kind of get more into why I think we might see something a little bit opposite of what we saw Saturday.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I think inevitably this will be a better test for Georgia. I'm not saying that it will be a great test. I think that, like I said, it's a more cohesive unit. It's a squad that already has a win under its belt. But Georgia's got the edge at every single position, just like they did last weekend. And probably in their two deep, they have the edge at every single position. And probably in their three deep, they have the edge at every single position against the starting ones of Austin Peay. So, And like I said, I'm not trying to, you know, dump on those guys. It just is what it is, man. I think that we understand roster construction, and Georgia's spent a lot more money on theirs than Austin Peay has in their entire football budget. So, you know, I think that this one, Jake, I'll be looking for a little bit more from Gunnar Stockton in the downfield passing game. I want to see an opportunity for him to kind of flex that a little bit. I anticipate that we'll see Ryan Puglisi come out there and probably, you know, show off that howitzer again, and probably will be having people wringing hands about the same things that they are this week when it comes to the quarterback situation. And I'm not saying that's wrong. Honestly, I think it's kind of a good thing. I think that, you know, like you said, I believe when we did some radio that, You kind of, it looks like you got a viable backup. And do you buy into this theory? I've seen several people say this, that Georgia's kind of cutting Gunnar loose and feeling free with Gunnar because they know that they have an opportunity, or they have a guy backing him up that is competent. Do you think that they're kind of not handling him with kid gloves?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly on the table. You know, if you want to talk about the just the quarterback situation in general, like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, it's one of the things I was kind of big point for me all offseason is Ryan Puglisi getting better was important for Georgia's offense because it kind of freed them up to do the full gamut of what they feel Gunnar Stockton is capable of doing. And, you know, listen, I see Gunnar out there running against Texas and getting lit up, and I saw him do some good things too. See him out there running against Notre Dame and kind of struggling to get things going. Gunnar played fast against Marshall. He showed some twitch. He showed some make you miss. He showed some physicality as a runner. And I don't think that is just because Marshall is just some pushover, even though they were kind of a pushover. I think a lot of it is kind of confidence and repping it and working it and form fitting the offense a little bit more to fit his strengths. I don't anticipate him running less necessarily. I anticipate Austin Peay being more ready for it.
Right.
That rather than Marshall just flat out not accounting for him and being overly aggressive towards Georgia's backs when they tried to run the football in those short yardage situations, Boston Peay's probably going to be ready for the quarterback to keep it a little bit. And so for me, you know, if we want to get into start kind of moving into some expectations for the offense, I expect Georgia's running backs to have a big day. I don't know what they're going to do as far as throwing the ball downfield, what they're going to continue to try and hold back or be vanilla about. But I do think that you're going to see sort of a yo-yo between week one and week two on how this Georgia run game is played. And I very seriously doubt Austin Peay is going to be as easy on the quarterback run as Marshall was. Just like I said, simply because of overcommitment to Nate Frazier and overcommitment to Chauncey Bowens and Georgia running the ball between the tackles. I think Austin Peay will play Georgia a little bit more honestly. And with that, I think Georgia's big offensive line has a chance to really cover them up and possibly have a lot more success just running right at them. And if Georgia gets that going, I could see some play action shot plays and Georgia getting after it there, especially if they don't have the busts that they had up front. But that is a big expectation for me for this game is, and listen, I'm not this guy. I'm not going to look at Austin Peay and say, see if Georgia doesn't dominate them. Like if Georgia doesn't like beat up on them and empty the bench, like it did last year, last week, I'll have some concerns, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you, hey, if Georgia doesn't run for 190 and six a carry between the tackles, I'm going to be worried about them. But I do expect Georgia to be much better between the tackles this week because I think Austin Peay has to be a little bit more honest. And if they're not and they decide, hey, we're going to let Gunnar Stockton beat us, we're going to make Gunnar Stockton beat us with his legs just like Marshall did, they're going to struggle because Gunnar Stockton is capable of beating Austin Peay with his legs. Now, can he do that against Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, you know, Kentucky? I don't know. But I do know that he's certainly capable of gashing, you know, Austin Peay. If they overcommit to the run game like Marshall did.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think so. And I think that, you know, we've got a number of, let's see, Darth Janus here. I want to see him pull the trigger on some deeper throws. He had some available last week, but seemed hesitant to rip it. I want to see him play with less hesitation in those spots. Rip it, son. Or jaw up as Ricky Bonds.
And yeah, I see that. I see that concern, but I do want to say, talking about kind of, people who break down film, I shout out Brooks Austin here real quick. I mean, Brooks had a nice, you know, take on that. I didn't see the whole thing, but I saw some clips of it. And Brooks had a good point there is Marshall was bailing in coverage. They didn't want to let Georgia get behind them. So, you know, if you're looking downfield, rather than give a guy a one-on-one opportunity, and try to and you know, maybe he catches it, maybe he doesn't, probably does, honestly. Georgia probably wins some of those matchups, and that may be something Georgia talked with Gunnar about this week. He checked the ball down, stayed ahead of the chains, and that's why Georgia was constantly – I never really saw them in a bad third down situation. I think their worst was maybe third and five, like kind of in the meat of the game. But I guess in those couple of drives they had, where they got stagnant there in the second quarter, you saw some of that. But more often than not, Georgia was ahead of the chains because Gunnar was checking it down. And listen, I get it. Like, checkdowns aren't going to win you ball games, you know, if that's all you're doing. You know, they tried to take some shots, and once Georgia didn't protect, and two other times Georgia got interfered with. One was called and one wasn't. I thought he had Lucky for a touchdown, and Lucky got held. I thought he had Noah Thomas for a touchdown, and Noah had a guy that was just kind of bumping him while the ball was in the air, like over and over again, and kind of slowed him down. Noah couldn't get to it. So, I certainly think Georgia takes more shots downfield, honestly, because I think they're going to run the ball right at Austin Peay a lot better, and that'll set it up.
Sure, absolutely. No, I would agree with that. I think that it's going to, like you said, a little bit more readiness is probably going to shape this game. It's probably going to tamp down a little bit on what Gunnar Stockton does. Now, I don't think that anybody is going to be necessarily able to eliminate that option game from him. His ability to get out there and run. I thought that he had, you know, somebody on our board pointed it out, and I said, yeah, you know, that is true. he really sells it well, Jake. He looks really good doing selling the option and selling the fake and just kind of tucking it. Looks confident in that way. Yeah, sorry about the microwave and the notification.
It's 100% the reason why the notifications aren't coming.
The radio signal
makes all the sense in the world.
The radio signals that emanate from my microwave to make you aware.
You got too high a wattage of a microwave. I've got a friend that kind of works in an office that works in an office over in Watkinsville, and they've got this like super souped up microwave. It's massive and it's huge and it looks awesome. It worked for like 2 weeks after they got it. And now everybody has to go to a different break room to this microwave that was made in 1986. And it just nukes their food perfectly. So
you can't beat the old one.
Microwaves.
Those things were designed to.
We need this summer. We need to do a Dogs HQ, not Dogs HQ, but a Georgia Show episode where we just review microwaves. We need
that to like Bark After Dark to me.
Power. Don't bring Bark After Dark up to these people. They become ravenous and they want us to do it more. And I just don't have enough time. There's not enough time to do a Bark After Dark. I told you before we came in here, I was like, I'm sorry to see my ugly face on these videos.
What about let's flip the script here, Jake, to the other side of the ball. Before we do that, maybe we should shout out our friends over at Sunheist.
First of all, do we have friends?
Well,
are they really our friends?
We have each other, and
they probably wouldn't. They probably wouldn't claim us, but we're going to claim them.
The treasure was the friends we made along the way. Guys, get over to sunheist.com. Look, like I've said, tailgate season's in full effect. Football season's in full effect. You're out watching the kids play on Friday night. You're watching Saturday football. You're hanging by the grill. Maybe you're wherever you are, you can still get in the pool. You can't do that up where I am. It's a little too cool for that. But you need some shades. You need good sunglasses. And sunheist.com has some excellent ones. You can get over there, free standard shipping on orders over $65, and code DOGSHQ20, DAWGSHQ20, saves you 20% off of your first purchase. And they got free shipping on 65 plus and free returns. So get them, try them out, see what you think. Give it a shot, man. You got nothing to lose and a great pair of sunglasses to gain. Shane and Mary Heist do an excellent job with their product, and Jake Rowe has built a different pair of sunglasses today.
I didn't feel like catching your guff today. I didn't want to hear anything from you, man. Now, one thing I do want to point out, though, if you've already bought a pair of sunglasses with the code DOGSHQ20, it's not a one time thing. So if you Christmas coming up, a few months, you know, all of that stuff, you're looking for gifts, birthday gifts, whatever. Hop on here and use that promo code again. You can use it multiple times. And
you've got something pulled up here too, and I don't think we've talked about it enough. That free accessory bundle that comes with it. Very impressive.
To be honest with you,
I thought maybe that was just a nice gift for us, the promoters of the product. No, everybody gets it. Sunglass case, you got the little sunglass necklace. We won't use the brand name of that thing that everybody might typically think of it as. You get a microfiber towel, you get some stickers, you've got the whole setup, man. So it really is kind of a complete product out of the box. I agree. I think for Christmas, this would be a great, great idea. So get over to sunheist.com, check them out. Code DOGSHQ20, 20% off your purchase over there. Jake, flip the script. Now, defense. Expectations for them in this game. What do we anticipate being different? Do we anticipate anything being different? Do we anticipate seeing anybody that we didn't, more or less of anybody that was out there?
You know, here's my thing about this game is, so looking at the Marshall game, something kind of dawned on me midweek. I think Marshall is a better defensive football team than they are an offensive football team. When you start talking about that much turnover, right? Just in general, even if you've got an experienced team, the common refrain at this point in the season is, yeah, it's early in the year, defense is ahead of offense. Well, brother, there is nothing and no possible way that that can't be true for a team that turned over 70-something players. And I do think Marshall was probably more talented defensively than they are on offensively. And at the same time, I think they were probably ahead of execution-wise, confidence-wise, based on camp, ahead of where the offense is. I expect Austin Peay not to necessarily be the reverse of that, but for Austin Peay, because of some continuity there, because of what they've got going on, having already played a game, I think they'll have it better together on the offensive side of the ball, meaning they'll take what Georgia – they'll use some of the same stuff Marshall did, watch how Georgia played it, kind of identify it more closely to some of the things they do and counter it. And you know, that's not to say I don't expect Georgia's defense to dominate this game, but – I wouldn't be surprised if Austin Peay garnered more than a few first downs in their first few drives, that type of thing. And so I don't necessarily expect Georgia's defense to get off to as dominant of a start, if we're looking big picture, as it got against Marshall, simply because I do believe Austin Peay will be better than Marshall as an offensive football team at this point in the year because of the continuity, because of the fact that they've got some of the same guys coming back and they've already played a game. And so they've had a chance to kind of see, all right, well, where are we deficient and where can we get better? Not only that, they got some confidence. They went and beat Middle Tennessee State, which we're learning quickly that Middle Tennessee State's expectations are very low this year. And that they're not going to be very good. But at the same time, you know, Austin Peay went out there and took care of business, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. I do think Austin Peay will challenge Georgia's defense a little bit more than Marshall did, where I think Georgia had a massive, massive advantage, even bigger than the offense had.
How did you learn that about I'm curious, how did you learn that about Middle Tennessee State? I don't know how anybody knows anything about Middle Tennessee.
There were, you know, I was talking with some Nashville folks, you know, here at On Three that, you know, are Middle Tennessee State alums and things like that. And I was like, man, you know, is Austin Peay that good, or did you know, Middle Tennessee that bad? And they're like, yeah, Middle Tennessee's going to have a crappy year. They might win two games type thing.
Oh, wow.
Okay. You know, not only that, but, they lost to a FCS team. So, you know, that also, there's an inference to be made there, I do believe.
Yeah, I'm over here reviewing their roster real quick to see if there was anybody that I recognized on the Austin Peay roster. I don't spot anybody off the rip. I will say, though, that they do have a guy with a super cool name, which is Ellis.
I had a kid growing up. Shout out if he's around. I know he's a Notre Dame fan. His name was Jake Peterman, right? And Jake Peterman's dad was named Pete Peterman. So
Pete Peterman.
So
oh wow.
Also, I also had a friend. They called her the nickname based on her last name. Her name was Alicia, but my first roommate in college, his name's Brian Buffington, and he had a sister named Buffy Buffington. They called her Buffy because of her last name.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Ellis Jr., a defensive back out of Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Ellis Jr. That's so much better than Ellis.
Yeah.
Ellis Jr. sounds like a cover band for like a country, like a country rock cover band.
His dad said, if I had to go through this, you do too. Yeah. I think that our expectations are quite the same this weekend. Is there anybody you expect to get a little heavier dose of for the Georgia defense this weekend?
You know, not really. Maybe when I think about it, Elo Madozi, maybe.
That's the name that jumped to mind to me.
Because I thought he played well in more limited action against Marshall. I understand why Georgia went after him. You know, Quintavious Johnson got the start. Chris Jones played a lot at outside linebacker. But when Elo Madozi got into the game, you know, I kind of watched that outside backer position probably more than anybody. And I saw Quintavious Johnson and Chris Jones as job doers. Like, they were striking blockers and good leverage, and they played well. I'm not trying to say they played poorly. Elo Madozi, though, made some plays. You know, like, he actually, you know, he jumps inside of a block. You know, there's a corner blitz. We went over it on Dogs HQ Plus, and Ellis Robinson comes on a corner blitz, which means the outside backer kind of gets to take the B gap. Man, he crossed face on the tackle and beat him so badly, he was able to kind of pivot and get back outside and combine on the tackle for loss. And, I, you know, it wouldn't shock me if Madozi kind of gets a bigger role game by game going forward, because he's going to have more teach tape. He's in some ways, he's a little bit of a freshman kind of coming into this defense and learning those things. I mean, not a freshman physically, but he is mentally in this defense. So I do think Elo Madozi is a guy you might want to look for getting a little bit more playing time. And Chris Cole was so good in that season opener against Marshall that I do want to see how he's employed in a game like this. Cause I think Austin Peay will probably try and motion Georgia to death, throw some stuff out into the flats, try to play the game more in space than Marshall was able to. So to me, that kind of plays into the games of guys like, you know, Chris Cole and Justin Williams when they get an opportunity to play. And, you know, based on CJ Allen not looking completely healthy to me last week, you know, they said on the telecast that he was dealing with an ankle injury. I wouldn't be surprised if CJ Allen kind of got a small dose and they just ran with those other three linebackers and maybe more Terrell Foster.
Yeah, sure. Man, Terrell Foster, that feels like a name that we didn't talk about a lot coming off of this game. I mean, I feel like he played well. I mean, it was late. I mean, I get it. But, you know, that was a good find for them as a walk-on guy.
Not only that, I mean, I think he's a redshirt junior, if I'm not mistaken. And I think he could probably play for a few other teams in the SEC, at least be in the rotation for a few other teams in the SEC. But he hasn't left via the transfer portal for a reason. And that's because Georgia's worked really hard to keep him around. Like they want him around. Like if they were to say adios whenever, you know, the transfer portal rolled around, he would probably be somewhere in somebody's top two or three inside linebackers, but he's still in Athens because they want him there.
Yeah. Which is insane to think about, that middle linebacker room. Now this weekend, I think the, you know, defense, look, continued progression. I think that you will see another heavy dose of DeMello Jones, right? Elijah Griffin. This is another great opportunity for him to get in there and get involved. I'll be interested to see if Kyron Jones gets that start again at safety, or who gets that start again at safety. You know, and quite frankly, Jake, I do think, and I think we mentioned this on some past shows, I think that could easily be a week-to-week position. I think that totally. that could be one of those that you just play the hot hand. Whoever's practicing well, if a guy has a good game, great, he gets to continue. If not, we'll try somebody else out. And, you know, I think that I'm not saying that KJ Bolden is the cure-all back there, but he certainly helps offset any deficiencies you might have.
Yeah, I can see that. And there's no doubt in my mind it's going to be week-to-week because it was this past week. You know, all of the
– Yeah, I don't think anybody had Kyron Jones circled.
Yeah, I mean, it was Ja'Cory – the week before game week, it was Ja'Cory Thomas and Adrian Maddox. And Ja'Cory Thomas looked like he might have edged back in front, was getting a lot of number one reps, and you roll through game week, and I'm left with to believe nothing else than Kyron Jones stepped up and showed that he was kind of had a higher floor and gave Georgia more stability back there, and that's why he started.
Yeah, no, that's going to be a very interesting one, I think, to watch not only this week, but just moving forward in this season. Defensively, I'm excited to see if they can kind of match the energy from last week as well. You know, to me, that's another big thing against a team like this. Look, if you're looking to get into the game, gametime.co, the place to go, all right? The Governor's at the Bulldogs this weekend in Athens. They get you in the door for $40, man, all right? You take the family, go out. You get a chance to see right here where your seat is. That's lower level bowl.
That's lower level bowl. $73.
Man, $73 to get in, man. Watch from a great. That's a great seat. Look at that view right there.
That is a great seat. Yeah, no doubt about it.
No, listen. GameTime.co makes everything super easy, man. They do a fantastic job when it comes to making this a seamless experience for you looking for your tickets. Easy interface. Like I said, the view from the seats, to me, the super compelling thing. I love that about them. But you get them transferred to you quickly. They're going to make it a very, very streamlined process. That's what GameTime.co does for you. And if you want to save a little bit of money, you can use code ON3, O-N-3, and get over. And terms and conditions do apply. but $20 off your first purchase with GameTime.co. So get over, use code ON3, get yourself some tickets, man. Go to Sanford Stadium. It's going to be a beautiful Saturday once again. And 3:30 kickoff, man. It's the stuff dreams are made of.
It's always a beautiful Saturday in Athens. Always a beautiful, even if it's raining, it's a beautiful Saturday in Athens.
We've got it's an actual beautiful Saturday coming up, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just saying that you can say that all the time if you want.
I'm just saying from a weather perspective, it's not going to rain, is what I'm trying to get at.
Okay, well, it's always a beautiful Saturday, and you don't know whether it's going to rain or not.
I'm looking at the weather, Jake. Well, J. Reed Hodges says, "Ro, nice to meet you last weekend. Redstone is elite. Go try it."
My man. Hey, it was fun. I mean, we're going to be out there again this week, too. Yeah. So come see Dogs HQ at Redstone. Pregame show starts at 10:30. If you want to hang, if you want to come out there while I'm setting up, watch me sweat and curse and everything else, smash my thumb. come right on out about 9:30, baby. You can get really involved. I do want to shout out my man for bringing I don't have it handy right now. I see it over there and I can't reach it, but he brought us a movie poster and a Blu-ray disc of an old Jack Nicholson movie called The Two Jakes, which I was really excited about. I should have had that on hand.
I've never seen the film. I've never even heard
of the film. So yeah. I'm not sure if it was made before I was born. I'm pretty sure it was made before you were born.
It was not, actually. It was released in 1990.
Okay, well, yeah. You know, I can't believe you didn't go see that at the theater when you were 3 years old.
Yeah, sure.
I was six. So I can't really say anything to you. Hey, listen, I don't want to dwell on this point right here before we end the show, but Georgia's got a non-situation at quarterback, all right? And, man, I've never said a negative word about Ryan Puglisi as a player. Like, sure. I mean, what's funny is you know, Georgia signed Ryan Puglisi and everybody was pissed off because they didn't get Dylan Raiola and Georgia wasn't signing elite quarterbacks. And now he's the next big thing, right? And I'm not going to say – listen, I think he's got a great future. I think he's a really talented kid. But there are two things I want to get at here. One, there's all this talk about, oh, my God, it takes 2 years to learn Mike Bobo's offense. It's not the case with anybody else. Guys, true freshmen aren't running around lighting up college football. Like, it's rare that one does that. So let's stop with that. Secondly, it happens sometimes in year two, but it doesn't happen in year two for other guys, for teams that have good players that have been around for a while.
Sure.
And Ryan Puglisi missed an entire first spring. He got zero reps as a true freshman at Georgia, took a red shirt, got zero reps because of the way things went. And he came in and he looked absolutely awesome against a Marshall defense that was down 45-0, completely demoralized and exhausted from being on the field 30 of the first 45 minutes. None of that is to say I have any doubts about Ryan Puglisi being a good player. He is. But listen, if you're trying to tout this as a quarterback controversy right now, if you're trying to like look into your crystal ball, all you're trying to do is A, be right before anybody else and try to be the first person to say it, and B, looking for attention. That's all you're really doing, because as of right now, it's not close. And that's not to say Gunner is more talented or that Gunner's going to lead Georgia to the promised land or anything like that. It's just to say that Ryan Puglisi, while much improved, is just not quite ready yet. And it's okay to say that. And it's actually very, very normal to say that.
You had to like sit back after that one. I understand. No, listen, I agree with you, Jake. And the thing about it is I firmly on the same page. Ryan Puglisi, great player. Think big ceiling, big opportunity ahead of him in Athens. The thing that I heard consistently this offseason is one of the things that would firmly put a guy behind another guy, and that was that there were issues in the offseason with turnovers. He was a little bit more prone to throw the ball into dangerous positions than Gunnar Stockton was. And I think that we know that there are a few things that Kirby Smart values more in any player, quarterback or what, than taking care of the football. Now, somebody did challenge me on Carson Beck last year and that stretch that he went through, which I think at that point you were a little pot committed, to be honest with you. I think you had your chips in and you kind of just had to roll with what you had.
Well, not only that, Jake, but like with the an in-game change at quarterback. Let's just take this scenario by scenario. Alabama, all right? I believe that was the first high turnover game for him. Yeah. Do you want to put Gunnar Stockton into the game in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, down 28-0 and think you've got a chance to come back? You don't. You got none, okay? Sure. So you're going to ride with Carson there. You go to the very next week when Georgia played Auburn. They didn't turn it over, but then they did against Mississippi State. They turned it over. One of those was a tip ball, and the other one was a late turnover where Carson just kind of thought something was going to happen and didn't. So that was a little bit of a different deal. You go to Texas, you're managing that game, you're winning that game. What was the score at halftime? 23-0.
Yeah, okay.
23-0 at halftime. Carson actually shows you something in that game when he comes back in the fourth quarter after that second pick, after, you know, Texas fans threw stuff on the field and everything. And ultimately the right call was made. It was just made in the wrong way. And he makes some big throws, brings Georgia down the field, and kind of throws a dagger in Texas's heart with a touchdown. You look at the Florida game. He actually kind of rebounds in that game after making two bad early throws and shows you he's come back. Carson had already kind of shown you with that Alabama game, with that Texas game, that he could rebound and play higher level football. Now, they had built a lead against Mississippi State before he threw the picks. It's just not, you know, everybody, if you want to kind of just look at the picks – and say, oh, well, he threw a bunch of picks. They should have took him out. I mean, no. I mean, there's just a lot more that goes into it than just looking at just that in those specific games. And, you know, you're not going to throw Gunner out there for his first major college action on the road against Alabama down 28 points to try and come back. Not when you got a full half of football to play. So, you know, it's worth kind of looking individually at what was going on. And, you know, Carson only turned it over a lot in a game that they lost one time. And that was the first game that was like that. And Gunner wasn't coming into that game unless it got further out of hand. So, you know, it's a little tough for me to kind of get down with that logic.
I think we can all admit though, that Georgia's missing Carson Beck in a huge way. Speaking of quarterbacks, we've been dealing with that on the board all week.
Hey, yeah, I just want to see a raise of hands in the comments. Carson Beck coming off a UCL injury after everything that happened last year. How many of you were totally cool with Georgia bringing him back at $5+ million a year? Okay. You know, how many of you would have thought, man, Kirby, you did it right. Way to bring back Carson at $5 million. Nobody wanted to do that. So don't lie and say you did.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Don't raise your hand. Don't insult me.
No, it's, I agree with you, Jake. I don't think that we're anywhere near a quarterback controversy. I know that people want to make it that. To me, this is another classic example of the backup quarterback is the most popular guy on the roster. It is that in practice. And I get it. You know, people love it. You know, and it's always the what if and what if it could be. I do think that, like I said, Ryan Puglisi, huge upside, a big ability, a guy who has all the tools in the world to be successful, and will have an opportunity to be the starter for Georgia one day. But I don't think that right here at this moment that's the case. And maybe we get there by the end of the year. If so, things have gone awry. I'll tell you that. Things are not going to plan for the Georgia Bulldogs, and it's probably not going to be what people want if they end up making a switch at quarterback. So your season's probably at a different place than you would wish it to be, I think.
Now, something I will say, I do think there's a very good chance that Ryan Puglisi gets a chance to play meaningful football this year if Georgia's going to run Gunnar Stockton like that. Like, quarterbacks get dinged up. Quarterbacks get nicked up when you run them like that. So, you know, there's a very good chance Georgia's going to need him for a series or a quarter or half, a game, maybe even a stretch of games. But there's no controversy right now. There just isn't. And I just, it would be nice and I totally get the way it is. And all of this is just kind of goofing off talking about a game. I want everybody to understand that. Like I see some people like really getting after those Georgia fans that feel that way in the comments. I'm not calling anybody a moron or an idiot. That's silly. We're talking about a football game here. So this is all fun. This is all, you know, just goofing off about the sport, even though that we, you know, we cover it for a living. But, you know, there's just no controversy right now. And I think it's a positive that your backup quarterback came in there and looked really good. I mean, I think that's a good thing. It's showing that he's getting better, he's progressing, he's doing some good stuff. And that's never going to be a bad thing. It just doesn't necessarily have to be a controversy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. Absolutely. 100%. And, you know, quite frankly, I think that it's a good position. I think that it's a you're in a good spot to have a solid backup quarterback. And we talked about this, I think, on the radio, that it's the case that it feels like Georgia can be a little bit more flexible with Gunnar Stockton and a little bit more apt to let him kind of cut loose and do the things that he does very well and is very successful at, and that makes him a dynamic quarterback. People forget, man, I really do think people have lost perspective on the fact that a lot of teams really wanted Gunnar Stockton. But a lot of teams dropped out of the race very early on because they knew that Gunnar Stockton was going to go to one of two places. He was going to go to South Carolina or he was going to go to Georgia. And that was it. I mean, there was not a lot of debate about that. No, nobody had any delusions otherwise. He's a good player, and he brings a different dynamic and a very exciting dynamic, I think. UGA boy for life, Brunetti says, the way Gunnar runs around, it's inevitable, and I hate to say it, he'll probably get hurt. I'm not going to say that that's the case. I mean, yes, of course, it's possible, and it's more likely to happen because of the way he plays the game. The guy also got his bell rung in a way that would have probably put me in a ward for the rest of my life, but he popped right up and was talking smack, so... Gunnar Stockton, maybe he's built different. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Blaine Gilmer says Kirby has been better than Rick just about every area. However, why not employ the Rick approach Rick did to Green Shockley, let Pugs play every third or fourth series? I mean, listen, I wouldn't argue with that if they thought that was best, Blaine. But and by the way, I love you, dude. You're awesome. But that cost Georgia a win at Florida in 2022. Kind of shoehorning a quarterback into a situation where he may or may not be ready. And he threw it right to, I can't remember Florida's defensive back who picked it off and took it for a touchdown. So that's not always the answer on how to do things. And you know, kind of if you got two quarterbacks, then do you really have one? There's all of that. So, I mean, listen, understand that there are Pug stands out there. And I don't fault them for it. He's super talented. He's a really talented guy, but I don't think you need to shoehorn a quarterback in and try to make it work in those situations. And unless there's like a drastic difference in style, which I don't think there is. I still think both of these quarterbacks, you know, are still passers first. If Gunnar struggles, if Gunnar gets dinged up, I think Puglisi is going to have an opportunity to play. I just genuinely hope nobody's rooting for that. Like either one of those things. Like I genuinely hope nobody's just rooting for that so that they kind of get the Puglisi era started. And, you know, quite frankly, if we're just going to be honest here, I know somebody will bring up Justin Fields, Jake Fromm in this discussion, and that's fine. But I like Kirby's track record because I remember how you all talked about Stetson and that Stetson, the midget, was only playing because he was Kirby's boy and all of that. And, you know, two titles later and you know, a bunch of offseason belly aching between national championships, here we are. So, you know, I know that the Justin Fields thing comes up. I still hold to the fact that Jake Fromm was more ready to help Georgia win a game than Justin Fields was as a true freshman. That doesn't mean they were the same player a year later. There's a lot of improvement happens from game one to game two. There's a lot of improvement that happens from year one to year two. And that's how it is. But, you know, listen, I get that folks out there, everybody gets enamored with talent. We get enamored with talent. We work on a website that covers recruiting rankings. So we clearly love to talk about talent.
I have none, and so I strive to have
right. any. Right, 100%. If I didn't have the ability to talk about talent, talent would have no place in my life. All right, but when it comes down to it, it's just not there. All there is to the game. There have been a lot of times. That other players have played over more talented players than because they're better football players now than that guy is. And that's how it goes. But, Blaine came back worried about him wearing another jersey next year if he doesn't play. You can't play for next year. You've got to play for now. Yeah. Like you've got to play for now. I'm with you on that. He very well could. Sure. Georgia couldn't play for next year with Jake Fromm and Justin Fields in 2018. They can't play for next year right now. They couldn't play for next year when Stetson Bennett was the quarterback and folks were hoping they would move on to somebody different because they were limited with Stetson. So I want people to keep this in mind. Guys get better. At Georgia, they almost always get better. There's so many guys over the I've written them off. Tyke Smith, Tyke Smith, he's a big one that comes to mind. Tramell Wildthower. There's so many different guys that I've kind of like, hey, Ladd McConkey a little bit in 2022. You know, I remember the calls and I didn't disagree with them. When Ladd muffed a punt and fumbled against Kent State and dropped a few passes, I was thinking, man, maybe Ladd needs to play less. They stayed with him. Ladd got better. Now Ladd's beloved. Stetson is beloved. Tramell Wildthower is a two-time national champion and a really good defensive football player at Georgia, although he didn't get drafted. Tyke Smith ended up becoming a third-round pick whenever the word on him was he wasn't going to be anything. So these guys are going to get better. Gunner's going to get better the more football he plays. He still hasn't played a whole lot.
Agreed. I got
been a much longer show than I thought it was going to be.
I think you got down some holes there, brother. We're just letting you get it all out.
I do want to get across. Like I'm not complaining about fans or anything, but I do think that like there's a way we can talk about this where we don't necessarily have to root for the bad to happen, and we don't have to kind of be the one to rush to judgment and put somebody on the field when they haven't earned it. Or it's not there. I mean, another thing you want to point to here is, hey, this team is behind Gunner. Like they're fully behind Gunner. If you were just to go ahead and say, hey, it's Pug's time, or to take snaps away from him. I mean, another thing to Blaine's point, if they give him every third series and he struggles, then what happens to him? You know, like what does that do for him if they start putting him in situations they don't really feel he's ready for yet? I mean, I think, it's tough. It's tough to play quarterback in that way. You know, we saw Steve Spurrier team struggle over and over and over again trying to alternate quarterbacks. I don't know very many teams other than Chris Leak and Tim Tebow who had two completely separate roles that have really thrived in that type of system. It's just very tough.
Do we have any other friends we need to shout out here?
We don't, man. We don't. We are out of friends.
Excellent.
We are absolutely out of friends for today.
Guys, we will be back with you on Sunday. Well, we'll be back with you on Saturday morning for our live from Redstone. Excited for that. Get out there. Hang out with us. Chris says, smash that like button. I'm with you, Chris. Absolutely. Smash the like button. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed to the channel. Get out. Hang out with Jake Rowe at Redstone on Saturday. Get you that brisket Philly. That thing looking ridiculous. And then we'll be back with you on Sunday to talk about Georgia Austin Peay and what we learned from that one as we anticipate a very, very big SEC opener with the Tennessee Vols. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. We'll see you soon.